Rita?
Okay, well, I was born in Port McNichol, Ontario in 1933. And I lived there most of, well, I guess till I was two, and then we moved to Penetang. And my dad was a carpenter. My grandfather was a farmer. And my mom was a homemaker, a good one, very good.
I was born on October 16th, 1932. I was born at home, like most babies were in those days. And I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, and spent all my youth in that city. Well, since it actually began with Rita, she knew me before I knew her, I'll pass.
Well, I was only 12 years old and I saw him. I was walking in the post out of the post office and he was walking into the post office. And when I saw him, I thought, oh, that guy's for me. And he was.
And anyway, so to carry on with that theme, I'm saying that I was born in Cleveland, Ohio. My father was born in Penetang, Wisheen, and actually he was a miner at one time, but he was on a sail ship. His older brother lived in Cleveland, and so when he went to Cleveland, he wanted to visit with his brother, and his brother said, well, we're going out on a date, and my dad met my mother, first of all, just on a date, and that connected right away between them, and it wasn't too long where my dad just moved down to Cleveland, and they got married. My grandmother was having a fit because he was a Catholic, and I was raised in a Baptist church at the time, but anyway, they accepted him, and they had to. And so that's when I was born in Cleveland. I was number two. I have an older brother, Arthur, who has passed away now. Okay, the only time I just wanted to establish that my father was born in Penetang. And the only time we ever came up here in the wintertime, and that was for New Year's, and that goes back quite a few years. And so when we were here, Rita had a bobsled, or whatever you want to call it, and right in front of where my aunt and uncle lived, and that hill was really steep. What street was that again?
Fox Street.
Fox Street. In fact, if you go down Fox Street now, you can see that it's been raised. Well, it was pretty stiff, and so the kids were out there on this bobsled, and so I jumped down with Rita, and that's the first time I met her. And we had quite a night. And actually, when it was all over and I came home and I came in, I guess I was 11 years old at the time. Oh. 12, yeah. And I announced to my mother, I said, I just met the girl I'm going to marry someday. And they all laughed how cute this is, and, you know, 12-year-old cowboy. And I met her when we came up on holidays. We got together, and there was no question that there was a connection there.
We knew each other mostly by letter. Other than that, we only had like 2 weeks in the summertime when he would come up. I think about three years after that.
Yeah.
So we really, this was ordained by God, because when you think about it, we knew very little about each other.
Well, I was 19 and Rita was 18, and we got married up here in the Catholic Church. I was still a Baptist. Rita's mother didn't know this, by the way, at the time. She thought I was a Robitaille and a Baptist.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes, we were married at St. Anne's Church at 8 o'clock in the morning. We had no choice for that.
And big snowstorm.
Big snowstorm. And I had a lot of my family members that came up for this wedding, And my best friend, Roland Shaw, came up and he was in my wedding party. And that was an experience just driving up here in the wintertime for that, yeah. So we were married at St. Anne's and I was 19 and Rita was 18.
When we got married, I think we were married a week and he got called in the Army and he had to go to Louisiana with the Army. And so I went down to Cleveland and I stayed there with his parents while he was down there. And he was gone for 6 months. And when he came back, then I came up here with him, visited my parents, and then I went down to Louisiana. And I stayed there for 6 months, I guess.
Yeah, I was in the Ohio National Guard. I was a sergeant. had my own troopers, and it was for the Korean War. And so because it was wasn't considered a war, it was just considered an action, that my enlistment was up in December of the same year, and they did everything, tried to get me to re-up, and I said, no, I'm going home to be with my bride. So that was the end of my active duty in the Army.
Well, we didn't have any money, that was for sure. And I just learned to cook on a very meager allowance, and I did pretty well, I think.
She did well. When we first came back, we lived with my mother and my father. And on one property, there was two houses. There was a house in the front with two apartments, and then my father's house was behind. And so the people in the front that owned it were older people, and they were retiring out of there. And so that was the first place that we lived. And we were poor as church mice. In fact, a neighbor came over to visit us shortly after we moved in there, and she felt so sorry for us that she went home and unhooked
a lamp
and brought it over and put it on the stand and plugged it in. That's what we had, and we had when they left an old, you know, the old-fashioned oven and some tools there for eating and that. And well, again, still poor sheep as mice. And
we had our first television there. I wish you could have seen it. There probably was about maybe a foot and a half high and about, that'd be 2 feet long.
Yeah.
And it sat on a table. Yeah. And well, we weren't the only ones that were poor. Our friends that came to be our best friends, when we would get together to play games in the evening, we always served a lunch, which was toast with grape jelly and Kool-Aid. Never bothered us.
We were poor together.
That's great.
Well, we have five children, and our first one was our son Rob. They all live here, by the way. There was Robert, and then Glenn, and then Gilbert, and Mary Catherine, our daughter, and Adam, our son. And Rob was born about a year and a half into our marriage, after I came back from the service. And so our family is notorious for boys. And we thank God then, and we still do, for our daughter. She was the only girl that was born in our family in years.
28 years.
Oh, wow. And so she was, from the time she was born, she was put on a little bit of a pedestal where she belongs.
But we were really excited to have the baby. And of course, it being our first one, I had a lot to learn. But we got along fine, and it was wonderful to have the children. And then Rob was born in 1953, and then Glenn came along in 55. In 58, there was Gilbert, and then 64, Mary came, and 65, Adam came, 66. And so now we have 5 children that are married. We have 20 grandchildren and 17 great-grandchildren, all wonderful. Well, Bob traveled a lot with his job, and of course I had the boys at home, and they played baseball and all the other things that kids do. And I had my own car, and so I would run the boys back and forth to their ball games or whatever, take one in, come home, feed the other one, take that one, pick up the other one, and it was back and forth. Every night, I just ran back and forth with the car. I was so glad when Rob started driving that he could use the car and do it. But I never felt that it was a hardship. I really enjoyed my kids. I guess my girlfriends were always glad when school let out, went back, because the kids would be going back to school. And I was the opposite. When June came, I loved it because my kids would be home all summer. And then the women that I hung with, we're going to have the kids all summer. But when September came, I'm the one that's hated to see them go, and they were glad to see theirs go. But I had great kids all. They were always wonderful kids. And so,
well, I traveled a lot. I had different jobs. I took whatever I could at one point. But then I went to work for a company called Standard Brands, and that was a billion company. And I eventually went up the ladder there, but every time I got a promotion, we moved. So that's how
we moved a lot.
We moved a lot. And so Rita was mostly on the home front, and I was home probably about 3 or 4 days a week. But the other 3, sometimes 4 days, I was on the road. I was a district sales manager for them. And so I did, I had parts of 3 states under my tutelage, I guess I could call it. So Rita carried a lot of the weight, and wonderfully, I might add.
I loved it.
So is there...
When he came home, we spent time with each other, and we always ate as a family, and there's not too much to add to it. We were together when he was home, and he never got home usually. When he came in, it was around 6 o'clock or something like that, and we'd have dinner and watch television for a while, go to bed with the kids, and yeah, it was a great life.
And at the time, we lived in Pittsburgh for 7 years, and I had a very responsible job there. And we came up in the summer, my son Rob was already here. He wanted to go to school up here, and so he was already here. We came up in the summer, and a relative of Rita's owned a restaurant in Penetang, and he wanted to sell it. And Rob was trying to talk us into buying this restaurant and moving up here. Well, that was ridiculous.
We had never done that kind of thing.
Yeah. So when we got home, we thought more and more about this. I had reached, as far as I was concerned, education-wise and everything, the pinnacle of where I was going to go with this company. And I knew that the next position would have been a bit of a downfall for me. That's what I thought.
But so we would have had to travel to either New York or Louisiana or California. We didn't want to go.
The next position would have moved us right out. So after about 2 weeks of kind of wrestling with this, and the idea grew on more and more about making this move. And so we decided to come back up here after two to three weeks, whatever it was. And it was Rita's cousin that owned that, actually was mayor of Penetang at the time. And so this old restaurant's not there anymore. It's been torn down, but that's where Bob's Hoagie House started. And that's another story. we worked there. That's how we got here. We owned this restaurant. I was both feel like fish out of water.
But we never had anything to do with restaurants. I knew nothing. And it was really funny because my sister-in-law came and helped us. And when we first opened up, he would have to go down to the bank. And if my sister-in-law and I would pray that nobody comes in. Hard. We worked hard. But it was so wonderful, like when we first started the church at
Covenant,
it was so exciting because everybody worked together and people came from all over to help us build. And it was exciting. And since we had the restaurant, if there was like a Christmas banquet or a rainy day for a picnic, everybody piled into the restaurant and we had everything there. So it was a great time.
It was a bit hard on our kids when we moved up here, not only changing schools, but changing location. But having said that, I don't know one of my children who would want to move away from here. We're very fortunate. Our whole family is all around us, my whole family, immediate family. So Lord worked it all out. And
we added 50 something people to this area. Well, I'd like to say that Glenn had a high school teacher that was different. And Glenn asked him what was different about him. And he told him that he had Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so Glenn got more interested in that and talked to us about it. And of course, Bob had some experience with the Bible being Baptist, but as a Catholic, I had none. And I really was suspicious of all this. And so Glenn said, well, this teacher had Bible study at his place and he invited us to go. So I said to Bob, well, you know a little bit about the Bible, you go. And so he went to this teacher's house, and there were so many kids in that house. They were sitting on the kitchen table, under the table. And so Bob stood behind the refrigerator to see what was going on. And he came home and he said, that's fine, we'll let him go to that. And then that's when we started going to a different church down there called, it was a brethren church anyway. And the kids loved going there because they liked Sunday school. In fact, Mary and Adam liked going so much that they would mark the calendar to make sure that they marked off the days and they wouldn't miss the next Sunday. And and then that's when Bob got transferred.
Yeah.
And so.
Just going back just a little bit, I was raised, my dad was Catholic. My mother was Baptist. And they agreed at the time that when they got married that my mother would raise us and whatever. And then when we got older, it was our decision. Well, when we got married, I got married in the Catholic Church, but I was still a Protestant at the time. But eventually I did switch and became a Catholic. And our kids were raised in Catholic schools. And this incident with Glenn, I was going to these meetings that Rita was just talking about. And of course, as a Catholic, we were a little cautious about that. And, but that particular thing, when I went to over to that house and saw the love, and it was a high school teacher that I was actually teaching while they were there, I was quite impressed. And so that was got me really thinking about things. And that's another story, by the way. But anyway, I eventually left the Catholic Church. And in a church service, by the way, by visiting a preacher. And at the end, it was one of those, well, all heads high, you know, heads, eyes closed and heads down. And he asked for commitment. Well, I was the only one, but I put my hand up, and that's how I became a born-again Christian, through the teachings of, like you, Pastor. And the rest is history.
We went to, we went to a different church first, and then Ed Webster, who is Dave Webster's father, went to Knox Presbyterian Church. And so we decided to see what that was like. And when we came in, he came up to us and invited us and took us under his wing. And then we just stayed there with them. And Bob and Ed became great friends. In fact, they belong to an organization called the Gideon Bible Society, you know, and they got together every Tuesday morning and had prayer. And so, yeah, that was the beginning of our relationship with Ed and Velda. And it lasted until, I don't know, just, I guess, Ed passed away, what, about 5 years ago?
Yeah.
We had great fun with all of the building up of Covenant, with the Sunday school and the picnics and the people coming from Stainer to help us and getting to know them. And from all over. I used to really enjoy going to Niagara when they had the Canadian conference. I missed those after they stopped doing that. It was kind of sad, because that really brought people together. It was wonderful going there. You'd see all the people that you had met at other places at that conference, and they came from Quebec and every place. But that went its way too. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, we used to get together when we were smaller with Collingwood and also
Stainer.
And we get together and play baseball games together, and at different times visiting each other. It was really a special time. We kind of miss those days, but life goes on, right? Mm-hmm. It made all the difference in the world to us. And we've tried our best to follow that. And our children have all been baptized.
But my parents were devastated that I left the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
In fact, my mother didn't talk to me, I think, for 2 years, because she was so angry with me for doing that. And, wrote me nasty letters and things. But then what's so wonderful about that is, through the love that I showed her before she passed away, she became enamored with Jesus, because she said, if I had known what I know now, I wouldn't have been so upset with you. And so my mother gave her heart to the Lord before she passed on. We have our daily devotions every morning, which is very important to us. That's first and foremost in our agenda. We have our prayer time, and we're very organized, but we're retired, but we never have any time to do anything else. It's amazing how busy you can be. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's about it, I guess.
It made a major difference in our life when we both became Christians together, born again Christians together. And I wouldn't change anything, I don't think. Even some of the mistakes we made are still important, because we learn from them. Yeah.
Great.
Well, when we got married, Bob's grandmother said to us, never let the sun go down on your wrath. Make sure that you straighten any mess you have between you before you go to sleep. And that's one thing, we never ever went to bed mad, angry with each other. We always talked it out. And of course, we've been married for 69 years. We've never had a real argument.
Well, that's good advice for anybody that's listening to this or seeing it. Not that we had a perfect, we think we've had a perfect marriage as far as those things are concerned, but we never allowed these side things to become the big issue in our life. We stuck together, and I basically think our kids are the same way.
So I think in Corinthians it says something about consider the other person more than yourself. And I think we did that. He always put me ahead of him, and I always put him ahead of me. I made sure that he was happy when he went to work. I didn't want him going to work with a heavy heart. So I made sure that he had a glad heart when he left to go to work. Yes, and make sure that if you have something to say, communicate. Don't, you know, I know people that haven't talked to each other for 6 weeks because they're angry with each other. That is ridiculous. Settle your arguments and get back to work.
Yeah.
That's
being old is hard. Well, because everything is so slow, and it's so hard to do everything. Like where I used to get up in the morning and do the laundry, clean the whole house, and go dancing at night if I wanted to. Now I'm lucky to get one room done in a day. Most of the time, not even that.
Yeah. Well, I guess all I can say is that whatever your situation is, hang in there and keep looking up, and the Lord will guide you through these situations. But yeah, sometimes they can be hard. And
Romans 12 says, be you renewed by the transformation of your mind. Renew your mind. You know, I think when I start thinking negative things, I think I'm not going to think about this. I do like a Scarlet. I'll think about this tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Don't dwell on negatives. Bob and I pray for all the people that we want to pray for every morning. And we appreciate people praying for us too, because I think it's really important.
Yeah. And the community, I don't know what we would have done without the church behind us. Yeah. I'll use the word community again, that we're all in this together. And so even in sad times, we can lean on each other, as well as, of course, looking to the Lord for guidance, which we do. And
I think that's one of the hardest things with COVID. We miss seeing the people at church and being able to just talk and see people that you love, you know, and it's,
You know, just looking back, in one of these days, I'm going to write my memoirs, but we learned from most of the things that have gone on in our life, and we've learned more from the adverse things than the positive sometimes. And so we're still working our way through it. Of course, we're from another generation, and we appreciate what's happening now. It's taking some to get used to all these changes, but
God's will be done.
God's will be done. So.